right, ready to dive into a case that really hits that intersection of bankruptcy law and securities regulations, SEC v. Brennan.
Yeah, buckle up. This one's a wild ride.
It really is.
This case has it all, you know, alleged fraud, offshore, trusts millions of dollars.
Millions.
And the question of whether bankruptcy can really just trump everything.
Okay, so the story starts with Robert Brennan back in the 80s.
Right.
He was accused of some serious financial misdeeds. We're talking like stock manipulation, fraudulent markups, the whole nine yards.
Well, whole nine yards.
The SEC was after him for a decade.
Had a decade.
Before they finally got a judgment against him in 1995.
And it was a big one.
Big one.
They hit him with a $75 million disgorgement order.
Oh, wow. $75 million.
Yeah.
Talk about a penalty.
Talk about a penalty. But here's where it gets interesting. Just weeks before that judgment came down, Brennan sets up a trust in Gibraltar.
Where's Gibraltar?
And parks $5 million in municipal bonds there.
Hmm.
Coincidence? I don't think so. The timing is definitely suspicious. And then just weeks after the judgment, he files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection.
So he's got this $75 million judgment hanging over his head, millions stashed offshore, and now he's declaring bankruptcy.
Seems like a pretty strategic move, right?
That seems like a calculated plan.
Like he was trying to shield those assets from the SEC.
Yeah, and the SEC thinks so too. They want that $5 million back, arguing it's part of Brennan's ill-gotten gains, you know, from all his shady dealings. But Brennan's team is basically saying, nope, bankruptcy protection covers all of those assets.
Right, and this is where that automatic stay in bankruptcy comes in.
Automatic stay.
It's like a pause button on all debt collection efforts against the debtor.
So creditors can't hound you.
Exactly. They got to give you some breathing room while you're trying to sort out your finances.
Okay, that makes sense. But I thought there were exceptions to the automatic stay, especially when it comes to the government enforcing its powers.
You're right, there are. And that's where things get even more complicated.
More complicated.
So the bankruptcy code, it allows governmental units to enforce their police and regulatory powers. Uh-huh. But there's this exception to the exception that says they can't use that power to just go after money judgments.
So it's like this legal tug of war.
Exactly.
The SEC is trying to claw back those assets by saying it's a regulatory action, not just debt collection, while Brennan's side is hanging on to bankruptcy protection for dear life.
Yep. And in this case, the majority opinion actually sided with Brennan.
They did.
They did. They saw right through the SEC's move and said they were plainly seeking to satisfy at least part of that judgment by demanding that $5 million be brought back.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch is right.
So does this mean that bankruptcy protection is basically an impenetrable shield?
Well, not quite.
Not quite, okay.
The court wasn't giving a free pass to anyone trying to hide assets.
Okay.
They actually developed a four-factor test to determine if an action is really just about enforcing a money judgment.
A four-factor test.
Hey.
All right, break it down for us.
Okay, so the court's going to look at whether the action goes beyond just getting a money judgment, right?
Yeah.
Whether there's an actual intent to enforce that judgment.
Okay.
Whether the government would get preferential treatment over other creditors, and whether the action would basically undermine the whole purpose of the automatic stay.
So they're trying to make sure that no one is using bankruptcy just to avoid legitimate consequences.
Exactly.
But wait, there's more to the story, right? There's a dissenting opinion in this case too.
Oh yeah, there is. And it throws a whole other wrench into things.
Okay, let's hear it. What did the dissent have to say about all of this?
Well, Judge Calabresi, who wrote the dissent, had a very different view of the situation.
Okay.
He argued that bringing that $5 million back would actually benefit all the creditors, not just the SEC.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
He believed that forcing repatriation would prevent Brennan from shielding assets that should be part of the bankruptcy estate.
So he felt like the majority focused too much on the letter of the law.
Right, and kind of miss the bigger picture of fairness for everyone involved.
So we've got this clash of legal philosophies. The majority upholding that strict interpretation of the law and the dissent focusing on practical outcomes and preventing someone from gaming the system.
It's getting pretty complex.
It is. And this is just the beginning of our deep dive. Next, we'll explore the implications of this case, what it means for regulators, people thinking about offshore trusts, and the strength of the bankruptcy system itself.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Welcome back. We're still unpacking this fascinating SEC v. Brennan case, where bankruptcy law and regulatory power really collide.
It's like a high-stakes poker game, you know, with millions of dollars and legal precedent all on the line.
You know what strikes me is how this case could be a real game changer for regulators like the SEC. Imagine if they'd acted faster, you know, gotten a freeze on those assets before Brennan even filed for bankruptcy.
You're right. It's fascinating to think about. The Brennan case might actually force regulators to be more proactive, almost like they have to anticipate these moves and be ready to counter them before that bankruptcy shield even goes up.
But wouldn't that lead to regulators being even more aggressive potentially?
Mm.
You know, hurting people who are legitimately struggling right. and need that bankruptcy protection.
That's the balancing act, isn't it? You've got to protect the system from abuse while also making sure it's there for those who genuinely need it. This case really shows just how tricky that balance can be.
So for anyone out there listening who might be thinking about offshore trusts as part of their asset protection plan, what's the takeaway from all this? Is this strategy basically dead in the water?
I wouldn't say dead, but definitely riskier. Brennan's case is a flashing warning sign, especially when those transfers happen so close to a bankruptcy filing. The courts are watching, and they're not afraid to scrutinize those moves very carefully.
It's almost like the court is sending a message like, don't try to pull a fast one on us.
Exactly. And remember Judge Calabresi in his dissent, he argued that Brennan's actions with the trust actually harmed all the creditors, not just the SEC.
Right.
So the courts are really attuned to those broader implications.
This whole case makes you realize that the law, especially when you're dealing with complex financial matters, it's rarely black and white.
That's what makes this case so compelling. It forces us to really grapple with these tough questions about fairness, about the purpose of bankruptcy law, and about that fine line between protecting debtors and holding people accountable for potential wrongdoing.
Speaking of the big picture, this case also raises questions about the strength of the bankruptcy system itself.
Yeah.
Does this ruling make it too strong, even protecting those who might have acted badly?
It's a valid question and one that sparks a lot of debate, you know?
Yeah.
The bankruptcy system is supposed to provide a fresh start for those in genuine financial distress, not be a shield for fraudsters or those trying to game the system.
So how do we make sure the system is strong enough to help those who need it, but not so strong that it becomes a loophole for bad actors?
Well, those four factors that the court outlined, those become really crucial in these situations. They're like a filter to help separate legitimate debt restructuring from potential attempts to hide assets or avoid responsibility.
Like they're trying to create a legal litmus test to figure out, you know, what the debtor's real intentions were.
Exactly. And that's what makes SEC v. Brennan so significant. It's about drawing those lines, interpreting the law, and finding that sweet spot where justice is served and the integrity of the system is protected.
This case really is like a legal thriller, you know,
it is.
Full of twists and turns. And it's incredible how one guy's attempt to shield assets can have such huge ripple effects.
Absolutely. And it's a reminder that the law is constantly evolving with each case like this, adding another layer of complexity and nuance. But even with all the legal intricacies, there's a human story here, too.
Right, a story about ambition risk and the consequences of pushing the boundaries too far. And you know what? This isn't even the end of the story. We've got more to unpack in the final part of our deep dive into SEC v. Brennan. Stay with us. Welcome back to the deep dive. We've been exploring SEC v. Brennan, a case that's taken us deep into the world of offshore trusts, bankruptcy law, and the SEC's fight to recover assets.
It's a real legal labyrinth, but navigating these twists and turns helps us understand how the system works and, you know, where the potential pitfalls lie.
You know, throughout this whole deep dive, we've been talking about bankruptcy as this balancing act, protecting debtors, while also preventing the system from being exploited.
Yeah, it's like walking a tightrope.
Yeah.
You know, too much protection and you risk creating a safe haven for these bad actors too little, and you might punish those who genuinely need a fresh start.
And Brennan's case really highlights that tension, right? Especially with Judge Calabresi's dissent, arguing that bringing that money back would have benefited all the creditors, not just the SEC.
What's interesting is Calabresi's argument goes beyond the specifics of this case. He's raising a concern about fairness, making sure that assets aren't unfairly shielded from those who are owed money.
He's basically saying, let's not let someone escape accountability just because they filed for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
But then where do you draw that line? How do you make sure the system is strong enough to help those who genuinely need it, but also prevent it from being abused?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And SEC v. Brennan throws fuel on that whole debate. It forces us to ask, should the bankruptcy stay exceptions be narrower, you know, to give stronger protection to debtors, or should they be broader to give regulators and creditors more power?
It's a tough call. On one hand, you want to make sure people in genuine financial distress get a chance to rebuild. But then on the other hand, you don't want to create loopholes that allow people to manipulate the system and avoid consequences for their actions.
And there's no easy answer. It often comes down to weighing competing interests, looking at the specific facts of each case, and trying to find that sweet spot where justice is served.
Cases like this remind us that the law isn't just a set of rules written in a book. It's a living, breathing thing constantly being shaped by these new cases and interpretations.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to stay informed, whether you're involved in asset protection planning, dealing with regulatory bodies, or just fascinated by legal complexities. Cases like SEC v. Brennan provide valuable insights.
It's a reminder that knowledge is power. The more you understand about these legal intricacies, the better equipped you'll be to navigate this ever-changing landscape and protect your own interests.
Absolutely. So keep exploring, keep asking those questions, and keep digging deeper. The legal world is full of fascinating cases, just like this one, waiting to be discovered and understood.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into SEC v. Brennan. It's been quite a journey, and we hope you've come away with a deeper understanding of the complexities of bankruptcy law, offshore trusts, and that delicate balance that the courts have to strike.